From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice, but what a race, what a sport, what a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus, he won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch, Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solo Mini, and Bolt Toro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us on Sirius 219 and our brand new XM channel. That's XM Channel 201, and of course on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide on your computer, smartphone, tablet, mobile device. You're doing that on our website at horseracingradio.net. JT, 42 days, 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 9 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, and we'll get that countdown out of the way right off the bat.
Why does it seem closer?
Well, it was closer than it was last week when we did this show.
No, it's but I mean, why does it seem like it's going to be here before you know it?
It is going to be here before we know it. And thank goodness that today is not opening day or opening weekend of the Keeneland spring meet.
Why is that? Because it's snowing?
Yes.
Oh, but it makes such pretty pictures.
And we've been there before, right?
In April, yeah.
Many times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've seen it.
I can remember standing in the announcer's booth with Kurt Becker one time. It was a few years back during the April meet. And he could not see the horses going up the backside. At least I couldn't see him with my naked eye, but he put up the binoculars, and somehow he called every horse. And as far as I know, he got them all right. Pretty incredible.
You know, say what you want about Kurt Becker. He's an amazing race caller.
Outstanding.
I mean, we've seen him pull some magical acts. Never forget when we had no call of the Breeders' Cup race. Was it a Breeders' Cup race? I think it was.
Yeah, it was a Derby undercard. It was the Humana Distaff.
Okay. And he just grabbed his binoculars and called the race for our listeners without any preparation. Never looked at the silks, nothing. And it was as good a race call as you could possibly ask for.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell Colmas that.
We've told Colmas this story.
What can Colmas say? I mean, it's, you know, he wasn't there. He didn't get to witness that, but it was fantastic. I imagine Leary could probably do that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, he likes to have his past performances colored and everything. He's all, you know, about preparation.
Yeah.
But Kurt, without any preparation whatsoever, at least that we knew of. I mean, he maybe as a race caller looks at the field when they're coming out and looks at the silks and it gets burned into his brain somehow. But that was one of the most amazing things. I got verklempt watching
you
it.
You did.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think any of those top callers, like a Larry Comas or a Kurt Becker, you get to that level, I think you could do that. You could pick up the binoculars. You could look down at your program. They don't panic. You know,
right.
And I've done that. I've tried to be I wanted to be a track announcer. That's what I wanted to do. And it is extremely difficult, at least for me. The memorization part was difficult. The rest of it, I could kind of, you know, mix in some terminology and things like that. But if you don't get the names right and the lengths and be accurate, you might as well forget about it.
Yeah, it wasn't a good career choice for you because you can't remember what you had for lunch at dinner time.
No, I can't. I cannot. You know,
that's why you have chicken parm all the time.
It's funny. I was telling a story yesterday, and believe it or not, we do have a special guest co-host with us here today who we're going to introduce you to in just a moment. But I want to tell this real quick story. Speaking about my memory, I was telling this to my wife's uncle is in town for the weekend, and we got talking last night as we were visiting, sitting around the house. And I have a deer head in my house that's mounted that's a Pope and Young record book deer that I got back in 2003. And I actually waited 15 years to order the darn record book, and I got the book this year, and I couldn't believe it's been 15 years since I got that deer. And I was trying to find my name in the record book, and I couldn't find it. I'm like, how can I not find it? I know that this deer is in the record book. So I went up to the spare bedroom where I have this deer head, and 15 years ago, I was given a certificate with the exact score that the antler scored and everything. I remembered exactly where that piece of paper was from 15 years ago, right? I remembered that, but you're right. I can't remember what I did 10 minutes ago, but somehow I remembered that, and I went right to it and found it, and then, of course, was able to find my name. But, yeah, somehow I remember where the heck that piece of paper was.
Well, I thought maybe it was before you were in the mafia and had a different name and changed after you got out of prison.
Alias. No, it was absolutely not. Well, I did mention our special guest co-host, and we're going to talk some horses here today, not just deer and announcers and everything else. We're going to talk about the road to the Derby, and who better to do it with than our good friend Mark Otto, who is with Red Brand Fence. He's also on the board at Old Friends here in the Bluegrass. And Mark, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
Sorry
appreciate
you had
you guys
to sit
having
through
me.
That story.
Oh, no, great story. I love stories. I work with Michael Blowen. That's all I hear is stories.
Yeah, that is true. Happy to have you on board, and thanks for your support of the Equine Forum here, all presented by Red Brand.
Oh, we're really excited to be part of it. We really love the show. We love what you guys do, and, you know, it's an honor to be here. It's been a lot of fun.
And you just don't represent Red Brand. You're a horse racing guy. You have been your entire life.
Well, often, yeah, in a roundabout way. I mean, I grew up on a beef farm in Michigan, you know, got into marketing, and then eventually came to horse racing. But, yeah, I'm involved in a lot of different things. I'm on the board of directors at Old Friends Farm. I represent Red Brand Fence for the equine industry worldwide. And I also work with Haggard. I represent them through harness and thoroughbred racing. So I, you know, wear a lot of different hats, but it all kind of meshes together. It's ironic. Haggard is a really, really good and strong partner of Red Brand. Red Brand and Haggard both support Old Friends, and they all go to the same place. So it's really become a really synergistic relationship. We all work together great. Really think the world of each other, and it's been really, really good.
I hate the fact that he has a better radio voice than me.
It's very good. It's very good.
My mother always said I had a face for radio.
Well, you have the voice for it. I noticed yesterday when we were talking to Gary Stevens. So it's nice. It's nice to listen to.
Speaking of Gary Stevens, the Hall of Fame jockey is going to be aboard Bravazo in this afternoon's Louisiana Derby at the fairgrounds. Now, the winner of that race is guaranteed a spot in the Kentucky Derby, assuming that all things stay on track and they make it that far to the first Saturday in May, because they're going to earn 100 points for the victory. 40 points for second is probably going to be enough to get you in as well. So if you run first or second, you're in good shape. Gary will be with us about 9 o'clock Eastern. You had a chance to visit with him yesterday. And how about this, guys? Mark, I know you were part of that interview with Jude yesterday afternoon. And Gary is riding for Wayne Lucas 30 years after winning his first Kentucky Derby on Winning Colors. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very cool.
And that was cool for both of them.
Yeah, it was one of the things we talked about. But I don't want to give the interview away because it's pretty good, if I do say so myself.
Gary's always good. And he's a spokesperson for Red Brand.
Yeah, Gary came on board. He's on our team this year, and you'll be seeing Red Brand on his leg and on his coat and his hat. And we're really excited to have him. Again, he's another guy that is tied into, you know, Old Friends. You know, we have several of the horses, none less famous than Silver Charm.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an event that we'll be talking about later as well.
All right. A lot of things to look forward to. That interview with Gary coming up 9 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you stay with us for that. But in the first half of the program, we're going to spend some time previewing the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale, which is a two-year-old in training sale. And although we're going to talk a lot about the Derby prep races, the Louisiana Derby and the Sunland Derby today, with a couple of consigners that will be selling at that Gulfstream sale, Eddie Woods and Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables, we're going to look at the stars of tomorrow. And Jude Kip has an interesting approach this year. He is not going to breeze his five horses that he's going to be selling next week, which is highly unusual. It just doesn't happen for a two-year-old in training sale because much of the emphasis is on fast times. Kip saying, okay, the pendulum maybe has swung too far that way, and we're working these young horses too fast. Now he's just going to gallop his five horses and see what happens.
Yeah, I applaud him for that. I don't know how much money he's going to make, but I think it's great. I really have never cared for 2-year-old in training sales because of the fact that they, you know, they ask the horses to run too fast. And it's really bizarre to me because as a former trainer, you know, if I had an exercise rider work a horse in an eighth of a mile in, you know, 9 or even 10.
Yep.
And I would probably be looking for a pistol for when they return to the barn, you know, and then people go to sales and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on these horses that have worked that fast at such an early age. And I don't understand it at all. So I think Kip's on the right track. But you know, there's the guys like me are few and far between, I think.
Yeah. It'd be, you know, two kind of contrasting approaches. You have Eddie Woods, who will join us coming up after our first break at right around 8:15 here, about 5 minutes from now, and then Kip around 8:35. And Eddie, of course, will be breezing his horses, and he's a 2-year-old consigner that has had so much success. He comes off of a massive sale at the OBS sale in Ocala, where 3 of the top 5 hips sold were sold from the Eddie Woods consignment. So the guy knows what he's doing, too.
Oh, absolutely. He's one of the best consigners. He's a tremendous horseman, and he has a great eye for a horse, and his whole team is really, really good. So I think he's a man that's respected in the industry, and he really takes his time and does right by the horses, and they go out there in fantastic shape. If you've ever been to his consignment, you know, every horse looks great.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Both of those interviews coming up in the first half of the program. Then, as I mentioned, Gary Stevens, 9:00 Eastern, and then Mike Nyman from Gulfstream, 9:25 Eastern time, his usual position. Looking forward to visiting with him and talking about the Hutchinson and another big day at Gulfstream Park. Plus, we'll look ahead to next weekend's Florida Derby. And, of course, we'll be there to bring you all of that exclusive coverage live from Gulfstream Park next Saturday. We're going to get to our first break. We'll come back. Eddie Woods is on deck, then Kip Elzer. That's all ahead in the first hour on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blauen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-Mesh and non-climb horse fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
He's as well-bred as horses get. As a son of Dyna former, we see Temple City following that same path.
Archegalos has got it won. The Grey Stakes to Archegalos and scores too late.
Annals of Time just flew past him, and Annals of Time, a striking one.
Miss Temple City, ironic as charging, Miss Temple City.
The start that he's gotten off to has just been spectacular. We're really excited about the future.
Temple City, now standing at Spindrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're into the stretch. Kador in front. Here's Lady Eli charging on the far outside. Antono sneaks through an opening at the fence. Kidora's fighting hard. Lady Eli comes at her from the outside. Antono comes at her from the rail. The three of them battle it out to the wire in the Diana. Here's the finish. It is the Gauntlet. Fearless Lady Eli. She has defeated Kedora by a nose. Antonov was third. The final time was 1 minute 46.17 seconds. She is indomitable.
Larry Colmus with the call of that 2017 running of the Diana Stakes, and champion Lady Eli getting up for the victory by a narrow margin. And, you know, she got up for so many victories in that outstanding career. Lady Eli, so spectacular, the daughter of Divine Park, racking up a total of 10 victories from 14 lifetime starts and nearly $3 million in career earnings. And she is a graduate of the Eddie Woods consignment, as are so many outstanding horses we've seen over the years. And Eddie going to be with us momentarily, right after we welcome everybody back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. I'm Mike Penna, joined by Jude Feld, Ponta for the Pick Four, and special guest co-host Mark Otto from Red Brand. Eddie is with us. He is at the Gulfstream sale, getting ready for that edition of the Fasig-Tipton sale, two-year-old and training sale. Eddie, good morning and welcome, my friend.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything is great, and I know you have a busy morning, so we don't want to keep you a long time here. I know you're going through the paces and getting everything ready for that sale. Fill us in on what people can look forward to here at the Fasig sale.
I think there looks to be a really nice group of horses here. They look to be training well, and it's a great place to be selling the horse.
What is it about this Fasig-Tipton sale that just seems to fit at this point in the calendar, Eddie?
Well, it's very much a boutique sale, but it's selling in a boutique arena, and you're in a major cosmopolitan international city, and people expect nice things in nice places.
You've got horses that are getting close to being ready to run, and you've got a captive audience there at Gulfstream. A lot of people go there for the Florida Derby, get out of the snow, like we're having in Lexington today, and
correct.
It's a great atmosphere for a sale. The cool thing is too, if you're there for the races in general, you can watch the horses train every morning.
Exactly, you know, and that's what we're doing exactly right now. We're up at the corner end of the grandstand. There's a bunch of agents and prospective buyers up here watching babies come by, and in the meantime, watching a lot of older horses breeze and go through their paces out of the gate and what have you.
Eddie, when I look at the horses you're going to be offering, I see names like Uncle Mo and Distorted Humor and Fed Biz and Scat Daddy, Pioneer of the Nile, Into Mischief. These are top pedigrees, and I'm just curious, when you bring a horse to a boutique sale like this, is it more important to have the pedigree or the athlete?
Both. You know, the pedigree is nothing without the athlete, and the athlete enhances the pedigree. And, you know, it's like we got to come with both. You know, you can't go to Cartier with a lump of coal, you'll be dead. And so, you know, we have to combine everything and get it right, and hopefully we will. But, you know, the horses we brought down here are top-end horses. Now, they've trained really well all year. They're good-looking. They got pedigrees, and they look like they've got some talent. So hopefully they come through here on Monday.
Is it important to have a horse that really looks mature, like you could put the saddle on and run tomorrow, or can you, be a little creative?
You can be a little creative, because people here are trying to buy the good horse, even though they don't want to stray too far from obvious. They want them to work quick and everything like that. And you can't sell a big old raw, you know, two-turn grass horse here. That's very difficult. We're kind of looking for the all-around classic American dirt horse that'll be quick and possibly go two turns in a classic scenario.
Eddie, you come out of the OBS sale, which was held on March 13th and 14th, and that was a highly successful sale for you, and it seems like we could say that each and every year. But you look at the horses that were sold at that OBS sale, and three of the top five horses sold were by Eddie Woods in your consignment. Look back on those horses and what you were seeing from them coming into that sale.
They were very nice horses. Two of them were fillies, two beautiful fillies. And the other, Pioneered Nile Colt, was a lovely colt with a modern pedigree. They all work really well. We expected them all to sell well. I can't tell you I expected them all to bring the exact number they brought. I think they just, because, you know, they just filtered to the top, I think, in the whole scheme of things down there. They brought probably a hair more than we had evaluated them at. But that's the way it goes. You're getting all the money for what are perceived to be the better horses, and after that, it's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, the top end is always good, and the horses in the middle, depending on the top end, can go either way, huh?
That most definitely, you know. And the unfortunate part about it is, you know, it's very rare that a sale topper is the best horse in the country, and most of the good horses come out at middle end there where, you know, they're just, at sale time, they're good, solid horses, but they graduate into good race horses as they develop on.
Eddie, once we get past the two-year-old and training sales, we'll turn our attention toward the yearling sales and several of those taking place this summer and even into the fall. Is there anything we can learn or gather from what we see at the two-year-old sales in the spring that give us an indication of what the yearling sales market might be like, or are they completely separate things?
They're kind of separate things. I think it's vice versa. You learn a little more about how your two-year-old market might be going by how the yearling sales are. I don't think the two-year-old sales has much effect on the yearling sale. The one thing it will do, but the horse has to jump up and run afterwards, is popularize a freshman stallion that show up at the two-year-old sales and are working really well and people get on them. And if they show up and a couple of them run prior to the yearling sales in July in Saratoga, it does help them be more in demand in the commercial market. Other than that, we don't affect it too much.
You always have your finger on the pulse of freshman sires. Have you seen any that you like this year?
There's a broad spectrum of very nice horses out there. I don't know if there's a superstar, but there's several useful stallions out there without getting into specifics.
Well, we want the specifics.
That was very played right down the middle, Eddie. That was wonderful.
Always keeping it close to the vest.
Hey, Eddie.
I'm running for office, don't you know?
Eddie Mark, for president. Mark here. I just had a quick question. You know, a lot of people in the industry look at the sales as kind of the barometer on how we're doing. What's your feeling on the sale coming up at Gulfstream? Is FASIC sale? You know, is this a buyer sale, seller sale? What's your feeling?
It'll be a seller sale at the top end and buyer sale at the bottom, which is a really ridiculous answer. But you know, it'll be all top end. You know, there's going to be a handful of horses here, or several horses bring an awful lot of money. There'll be quite a few scratches, I believe, and there'll be, you know, some horses that just got missed because they didn't, as they say around here, tick all the boxes. As in, they just didn't work maybe a tick slower, they just not maybe mature enough or something like that, and maybe there's a little issue on the vetting or something like that. And people, it doesn't take much to take people off a horse. It takes a lot to put them on a horse, but very little to take them off one.
So let me ask you, realizing you probably won't share this, but are there some things down there that have caught your eye in this sale?
Say that again, please.
Are there some hips down there that have caught your eye in this sale, or is there some things that are getting you excited?
Oh, I'm real happy with our own group, but I'm just watching horses come by here every morning. Well, I've been, you know, up and down between here and Ocala, and there are some lovely horses on the grounds.
Talking with Eddie Woods, top consigner of two-year-olds year in and year out. You can go to his website, eddiewoods.com, to learn more and to learn more about all of the horses he'll be offering at this sale and future sales as well. Eddie, before we let you go, we heard that clip of Lady Eli winning the Diana coming out of the break. She is a graduate of the Eddie Woods consignment. We see names like Big Brown and Left Bank and Midnight Loot when we go to the website. But you have to be proud of what you've been able to do over the years, my friend.
Yeah, no, we're very happy. Things have gone well. We've been very fortunate. We've had some really nice horses. And, you know, nice horses make you look good.
No, you've looked good for a long time. He's Eddie Woods. Eddiewoods.com is the website. Eddie, I told you we wouldn't keep you. I know you have a busy morning, so go enjoy it. And all the best at the sale. Look forward to seeing those horses go under the gavel.
Well, thank you very much, and great talking to you.
All right, Eddie Woods.
All the best, Eddie.
Yeah, he's so good. He is so good and always among the top consignors. Really sharp. really sharp. You can see why he has his success.
Yeah. Well, he sounds like a trainer, which is exactly what he is. He just doesn't race anything, you know. But I mean, he's out there in the mornings watching the horses go, watching his own horses, other people's horses. Believe me, he knows what he's talking about. He's one of the sharpest guys in our business. And I was trying to get a hint because I got to put my my entry in for the fantasy freshman sire, but oh. Man, he's keeping all the good stuff for himself.
Holding it tight.
Maybe Kip Elzer will be more forthcoming on that in the next segment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he will be or not. Yeah. We'll have to see.
You know, it's interesting. I thought about, and I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to put Eddie on the spot, but I thought about asking him that question about, you know, what Kip was doing and trying to accomplish. And you know, Eddie's had so much success with horses that do go out there and, as he said, tick all the boxes where they breeze well, they vet well, everything makes sense, and everything's in order. And that's why he has his success. So I didn't really want to put him on the spot, but I wonder what he may think of what Kip's doing.
Well, as a horseman, he probably would prefer to do it that way,
yeah.
Too. You know, I often thought about organizing a sale where it was against the rules to breeze. You know, you couldn't breeze, but... Again, you know, that people want to see that. So it's a fine line. I admire what Kip's doing.
The Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale comes up this Wednesday at Gulfstream Park. The sale begins at 3 p.m. Eastern. The Under Tax Show begins on Monday at 9 a.m. So if you're going to be in the area, you can come by and watch the horses breeze. Or in the case of Kip Elzer's horses at Kirkwood Stables, you can watch those five horses gallop as they will not be breezing and haven't breezed at any point in their lifetime so far. So we're going to visit with Kip to talk to him about that theory and that attempt to sell horses in that fashion at a two-year-old sale. We'll talk to him coming up in our next segment after our Lexus Legends of the Turf. You look at the horses that have come out of that Gulfstream sale. Horses like Dream Tree, More Spirit. Mark, we were just talking about More Spirit before we came on the air this morning. Audible, who dominated the Holy Bull. Yeah, Mopetism, Four Star Crook. Shakamot, there have been some really nice horses, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's a great sale. You know, they do run a lot of terrific horses through there.
And 1 week before the Florida Derby.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I love watching them, you know, gallop and stuff and see how they're going. A lot of times I'll be walking along the apron, I'll see a horse, and I look for a pen right away to write the number down.
Yeah,
check them out later.
You talk about handicapping races and picking horses when you're at the racetrack and going to the paddock to look at them before. You do a lot of that too.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think you know you can play the races from home on your television, but you really have to pay attention to the post parades and stuff, and a lot of times you don't get a very good look. But that's one of the cool things about Gulfstream. I love the seats down below where you can actually see the horses when they come out, see what they look like, how they're feeling. It can tell you a lot.
You'll notice a lot of the horse players spend almost their entire day there, which really tells you a lot. A lot of the serious horse players are right there in those seats all day. They never even go trackside.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
you can gain that little bit of information that maybe the general public doesn't have, especially if you're there on site.
When I started going to the races when I was a kid, I mean, when I was about probably 6 years old when I started making notes on my program with equipment and stuff, who wore bandages, who didn't. We didn't used to have that. In the racing form, it was very basic information, but we have the benefit of a lot of that. But I used to keep my own paddock notes and stuff. I've been a nerd for a long time.
It reminds you of Saratoga. Saratoga, same way. You have that gathering right by the paddock, and a lot of people never actually go trackside.
Right.
Yep. All right, Kip Elzer is going to join us on the other side of this. It is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Don't forget, 9 o'clock Eastern, Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens took the time to sit down with Jude and Mark yesterday afternoon. You're going to hear that interview as he talks about being back with Dwayne Lucas in this afternoon's Louisiana Derby. It's a pretty cool angle. Then Mike Nyman coming up in the second half of the show from Gulfstream Park as well. A lot of things to look forward to right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, presented every Saturday at this time by our friends at the Lexus Store of Lexington.
In early October of 1920, amidst full pastel resplendence of early fall, some 30,000 racing fans gathered at Kenilworth Park in suburban Toronto, Canada, in eager anticipation of the much-ballyhooed match race between Sam Riddle's Titan of the Turf Man o' War and the 1919 Triple Crown winner, the first ever, by the way, Sir Barton. Man O' War was regarded as virtually invincible in many racing quarters and was an overwhelming favorite amongst those in attendance to defeat Colonel Ross's superb four-year-old. The distance was 1 1/4 miles, the first $75,000 plus a $5,000 gold cup. There had been a modicum of controversy generated among racing fans when Earl Sandy, the regular pilot aboard Sir Barton, was replaced for this particular race by Jack Keogh. Commander Ross, the horse's owner, felt Sandy was not riding in top form at that time. The rider aboard the immortal Big Red was his customary reinsman, Clarence Cummer. As a matter of fact, Colonel Ross had first call on Cummer's services, but he deferred to Cummer's wishes in allowing him to ride Riddle's horse. Colonel Ross said, quote, "My action is taken without any prejudice to Sandy, and I am only exercising my right as owner of Sir Barton." The two horses answered the call to post and paraded before the stands looking absolutely fit on their way to the gate. Man O' War looked about nonchalantly as though this were an ordinary occurrence. Henry Morrissey was the starter, and he waited until both champions were perfectly ready. Then he sent them on their way as the webbing flew up, and to the huge roar of the vast throng, the race that was billed as, quote, "the race of the century" was indeed underway. Sir Barton was well away, and he took the lead for the first 16th, but that was all. Man O' War was quickly given his head by Cummer, and he shot by Sir Barton to establish a clear lead as he went the first quarter in a rapid 22-3. It was Man O' War by 2 open lengths and still somewhat in reserve by Cummer as he hit the hop in 46-2, 3/4 in 111-2. Keogh wrapped Sir Barton a couple of times with a stick, but could get no more out of him as Man O' War coasted into and on around the turn, coasting while galloping freely with those long, smooth strides for which he had been well noted. By the time they hit the top of the stretch, Man O' War had opened up to a 3-length advantage after clocking a mile in 137-4. Cummer glanced back at his rival, who was struggling valiantly while fully extended but not closing a single inch of ground. Man O' War was just breezing along in synchronized motion and continued to increase his margin, cruising to the wire a winner in smashing fashion by an open 7 lengths. The final time was 2:03 flat, and Cummer later said, quote, "It was about as easy a score as Man O' War had ever chalked up. It was the lope for the last quarter. Had he wanted to, he could easily have gone a couple of seconds faster. It was far faster than I expected, and I knew Sir Barton had no business with Man O' War after we had gone the first quarter," end of quote. But Sam Riddle was his customary modest self after the winning effort of his stalwart, and Commander Ross, the losing owner, was among the very first to offer his congratulations. It all happened on a resplendent fall day in a beautiful setting at Kenilworth Park in suburban Toronto, Canada, October of 1920, a truly great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I can pick it up myself.
Or you can pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today.
Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
After a 44 and 2.5 mile Fish Trap Road has taken the lead. It is Fish Trap Road in front coming to the eighth pole. Star Hill second on the outside and closing in. Sharp as Tech is down toward the rail. Then Taylor of Old Tom Freddy running on for the back of the pack, weaving through traffic. It is Fish Trap Road. Tom Freddy on the inside's coming on through from dead last to first. Tom Freddy and the Woody Stevens. He beat Fish Trap Road and Star Hill and Sharp Azteca in a final time of 1 minute 21.38 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and Mark Otto from Red Brand sitting in with us this morning as our special guest co-host. Happy to have you back with us from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and continuing to preview that Phasic Tipton Gulfstream sale, the two-year-old in training sale, which comes up this Wednesday. The Breeze Show is on Monday morning, and you get a chance, if you're in the area, to check out so many of those top horses that will be set to go under the gavel. You can also do that on the Phasic Tipton website. And one consigner who will not be breezing his horses this year, which, as we told you earlier in the program, is highly unusual, is Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables. And he will present his consignment on a no-breeze show basis, meaning that all of his horses will be shown at a gallop on Monday without breezing, and they have never been breezed at any point in their life so far. Kind of a neat concept. Kip joins us now. Kip, welcome, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, excited to hear a little bit more about this and the concept and how it all came about. This is a different way to go about things, to say the least.
Well, we're kind of reaching back to the way we all used to do things. I ran into an old friend at Saratoga last year. He just said, you know what, maybe the pendulum has swung a little too far. Why don't you go buy me a few horses that we'll take to Gulfstream and just gallop, not breeze. So we bought them in the name of Gulfstream Gallop. They were never intended to breeze. They've never been tested. And we're just trying to maybe dial this pressure on these young horses back a little bit and see how the public receives it. The horses that are breezing are being breezed by top-notch horsemen who are preparing them to do basically what the market the last few years has demanded of them. So what we're trying to do is change the market perception a little bit and show that nice horses can be presented without having quite as much pressure on them, without going quite as fast. So I guess you could say we've got the music playing, and now we got to see if anybody wants to dance.
Well, I got to tell you, I think it's a great idea. My hat's off to you guys for for trying this. I've felt like it needed to change for a long time. I think it's very admirable what you're doing. And, you know, if you're a talented horse person, you can tell a lot when a horse gallops and how much they're into the bridle and you know, what kind of presence they have. And there's a lot of things to be learned there. And I don't think you need to work in nine. We were talking earlier about, you know, these horses that go down there in nine and the trainers are lining up for them. But if their exercise rider did it, they would be looking to commit a capital crime by the time they got back to the barn. So, you know, it's a tough situation, but I think what you're doing is the right thing.
Well, I thank you, and we've gotten a tremendous response from around the country with comments and some press and you guys on the radio, and we're getting a very positive response so far. So they'll go up there Monday and show what they are prepared to do, and we're just hoping somebody comes in here to buy them.
Kip, year in and year out, we see so many greatest stakes winners coming out of these two-year-old and training sales. And the Gulfstream sale with Fasic Tipton is certainly no exception. When you look at names like Audible, the winner of the Holy Bull, who was a graduate of that sale, and More Spirit and Dream Tree, these are really, really top-notch horses. And they all breezed at these two-year-old sales. So just on the flip side of that, what are some of the pitfalls that can be associated with breezing a young two-year-old too fast?
Well, I mean, obviously they can get hurt. And if they're, for whatever reasons, you're working backwards from a sale date rather than forward just according to the horse's schedule that he may have put himself on as a, you know, the kids in high school, some you can push on a little faster than others. But when they're in one of the sales, you're working backwards from your target date. Unlike the guys at the races where the condition book comes out every 2 or 3 weeks, if you don't get ready for this maiden race, there'll be another one coming up. In the sales business, you don't have that luxury. They've got to be ready on the day. That can create physical and mental pressure on these young horses. But it is also being done by guys who are very good at what they do. So they're only doing what the market is demanding of them. And I think what we need to think of here is getting the public, the buying public, to accept horses that aren't drilling quite so fast, going down through the lane, and then it can be easier on the horses first and the people getting them ready, and long term on the buyers.
Kip Elzer with us from Kirkwood Stables. Again, he will be galloping his five horses at the Fasic Tipton Gulfstream sale coming up on Monday when they have the breeze show. His horse is not going to be breezing. As he just told you, they have never breezed at any point in their life so far, which is such a neat concept. And again, a lot of people, Kip, are going to applaud you for at least giving this a shot and trying to change that market mentality. And you know what? If those horses come out and one or two of them even sell really, really well, I think you got to say, yeah, we're on to something here, and let's move forward with maybe doing this again in the future.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, we have a long-term view of this. I'm not promising we'll be back, but we would sure like to be. Mr. Stronach did it here a couple of years ago and just open-galloped his horses through there. They weren't hugely well received at the sale, but they did get them sold. But I think the proof's in the pudding. Those horses have gone on, won good races, and shown that they're a remarkably durable group. One that I just happen to know is a scholar athlete who Terry Finley bought for West Point, and he's still running and running in good races. So hopefully they'll go on and perform, and gradually we can step back from this cliff a little bit and do best by the horses and long-term by the horses and the buyers.
Well, you're certainly no stranger to having success in your career in this business, Kip. You've done this for a very long time at a very high level. When you think back on some of those moments and some of the horses that you've been privileged to be part of through your consignments, through your training programs, what are some of the names that stand out to you that you're never going to forget?
Well, I mean, you have Tom's Ready. You had the clip on just a little bit ago. He made over $1 million and is at Spendthrift now. Wonderful little horse. We bought him at Saratoga. Unfortunately, Mr. Benson, his owner, just died last week. We will certainly miss him in the game. Wonderful, wonderful man to have as a client.
You have to mention Cold Alphabet Front. Soup.
Oh, well, that was a pretty fun day. Now. And when that little horse stuck his head down and beat Cigar, I've never had a thrill like that in my life. It was a really, really special afternoon. So,
this
anyway,
is Mark,
that
Kurt.
That was a lot of fun. Cold Fronts, Amsterdam last year at Saratoga. That was a devastating performance. Let's see. Well, you keep going back to Saratoga. It was quite a while ago, but Smoke Blacken winning the hopeful up there at Saratoga. That was a lot of fun. This game has been very good to us over the years. We've come up with some good horses, and it's been just great fun, a great way to make a living for quite a while.
Oh, Kip, if people want to learn more about what you're doing here at this upcoming sale, they can simply head over to your website, which is KirkwoodStables.com, and they can read all the news about this new endeavor with the No Breeze Show, and they can also read about so many of your success stories and read about your program and all the services that you offer, and I would highly recommend it, KirkwoodStables.com, and should be a lot of fun coming up next week, my friend.
We're looking forward to it. Come visit.
All right, there you go. Kip Elzer here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kip, we appreciate it, and good luck at the sale. That Gulfstream sale, again, Wednesday down in Florida. Of course, we'll be traveling down there Wednesday morning. We'll get there in time for the sale on Wednesday afternoon, and always a fun time and a great event.
Send money, Mom.
Yeah, we need to stop by and take advantage of that Kirkwood Stables offerings.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good sale. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm glad you brought up Alphabet Soup, by the way. That was a good call.
He's such a cool horse.
Yeah.
You know, he still lives out at old friend's farm. And he's got the most gentle personality. And it's kind of a neat story, too. You know, I don't know if you remember the story, but he got melanoma about a year ago now, a year and a half. And Adina actually stepped up and took care of all of his treatment. And it was really pretty remarkable. In fact, the treatment that he had was one of the first ones to be done.
No kidding.
And it really worked tremendously. So he's a true success story and a real popular one at Old Friends.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that the horses get melanoma, especially the gray horses. Very susceptible to it. And yeah, he is a cool horse. He's very smart. He's a good story. We did a trainer talk with Dave Hoffman's, and he talked about him and the thrills that he certainly had with Alphabet Soup. Mrs. Ritter, longtime owner, and her husband, Ben Ritter, B.J. Ritter, had a farm in California for many years, raced some tremendous horses. And I always like to tell people, Mr. Ritter had this theory, you know, put the fillies in one paddock and the colts in the other, and whoever was left alive when it came time to break, those are the ones nice. They brought. You know, they were hard-knocking, tough horses, and a lot of times they'd have big old chunks out of them where they'd get in fights in the paddock and stuff, and, you know, they just looked like they were, you know, hard raised horses, which they were. But
Soup,
I think,
was as tough as they come.
Yeah, it came back to
a scrappy little horse.
Yeah,
really
to how they. How they were raised. They were raised, you know, to be horses, and it was a good theory and very instrumental, you know, in California's breeding program. Flying Pacer being probably the color bearer, him on the Colt side and Cascapedi on the Philly side. But it was a great outfit.
I'll throw this out to you guys, and you may knock this right out of the park, but there were three horses on the line in that Breeders' Cup Classic. He had Elf Bet Soup, he had Cigar. Who was the third one?
We have to go over to the Pope here.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Really? I thought this was going to be like on a T.
I would have signed into his website and figured it out.
I'll give you a Nick Zito. Nothing?
Nothing.
Louis Couture's.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Not one of my favorites.
Remember Louis Couture's?
I remember him, but he wasn't one of my favorites.
I remember. Louis Couture's won the Ben Ally Stakes here at Keeneland, and that was my wife and I, Michelle, before we moved here. That was our first trip to Kentucky and our first visit to Keeneland. And I remember it was raining that day. It was miserable. And we went out and stood right by the rail. Didn't have seats or anything, but stood right by the rail and watched Louis Couture's win by like the length of the stretch in the Ben Ally. So I remember That's Louis so Couture's cool. for that. And it was actually my wife's favorite horse for a very long time. And
she fell in love with Nick Zito? Louis Couture's.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of reasons to fall in love with Nick.
There's
Zito,
a
right?
side story there. Yeah.
I could see that. I could see
right.
That.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. But Nick Zito, Nick was great with Michelle. And he still remembers this to this day. And he and I have talked about it when I've had him on the show and privately. But during that same trip, he was also running Chamois Davis, which was another horse at Greatest Stakes. Remember him?
Oh, you're pulling them all out.
How about that? That was I think it was in the Lexington Stakes, actually. And Chamois Davis came into the paddock, and one of the security guards at Keeneland was nice enough to let Michelle and I through so we could go say hello to Nick Zito. And, you know, of course, I was kind of intimidated, and Michelle really was. And here comes Nick Zito. He comes in with the horse, and he's with the owners. And he actually took the time to stop and talk with us after he walked into the paddock and put his arm around Michelle, took a picture with Michelle. It was really neat, and I've never forgotten that about Nick Zito. It was really cool.
That's so cool. You know, to this day, I don't get starstruck by people as much as I do horses. It still amazes me to this day. I don't know. I've worked in L.A., worked in Hollywood, but people don't starstruck me near as much as horses. I remember when Silver Charm showed up at Old Friends, it was almost surreal. Game on Dude. I think Game on Dude was the biggest one. It was funny. I had never seen his face until he walked off the truck at Old Friends because he always ran with blinkers. And, horses still starstruck me way more than people.
Mark Otto, he's with Red Brand Fence. Of course, this show presented by Red Brand Fence right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We're going to get to a short break. We'll come back. We'll get you set for the very busy second half of the show. Our interviews with Gary Stevens coming up. And with Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. Plus, we're going to talk more about the Louisiana Derby and the Sunland Derby. Those are the two Derby prep races on the docket for this weekend. We'll do that when we come back on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksAndSeafood.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. LaRange Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Winning colors in front. Here comes 49er on the outside. Lucas and Stevens. It's a driving finish. Winning colors by a head. Wire to wire with Gary Stevens in the iron. It was 49er on the outside. Coming from far back at the head of the stretch to narrow the gap and lose it by only a half length. Photos all around for the show. But Winning colors, who defeated the boys in the Santa Anita Derby by grabbing the lead and never looking back, did the same thing in the 114th running of the Kentucky Derby, and she did it in 2:02 1/5 seconds.
One of the great moments in the history of the sport, in the history of the Kentucky Derby. Winning colors, the filly beating the boys in 1988. Gary Stevens, Wayne Lucas, that was Dave Johnson on the call, and Winning colors, 30 years ago, think about that, 30 years ago, when young Gary Stevens and a much younger D. Wayne Lucas teamed up for the first win for Gary. And boy, what a moment. And if they could pull it off this year, they're back together again in this afternoon's Louisiana Derby at the fairgrounds with Bravazo, the Risen Star winner. If they can keep pushing forward, get to the Derby, what a story that would be if Gary and Wayne were to team up to win another one.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because when you told me you wanted me to interview Gary, I started, you know, prepping as I always do. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just Gary and Wayne in the Derby. To me, because of the relationship that I have with both guys, it doesn't seem any different to me. I don't really realize, that it was 30 years ago that Winning colors won, all that stuff. I'm not real great with time. I firmly believe there's no such thing as time, actually, but that's a topic for another show.
that was the first Derby win for Wayne too.
Yeah. Well,
Winning colors.
Yeah. I mean, she was amazing. She was just absolutely amazing. But you know, I kind of was intrigued with that concept, and that's how I started the interview with Gary.
Yeah, we'll hear from Gary coming up in just a few minutes. Winning colors, Thunder Gulch, Grindstone Charismatic, the horses that D. Wayne Lucas trained to win the Kentucky Derby. Of course, Gary was aboard the first two with Winning colors and then Thunder Gulch in 1995. Yeah, pretty special moments, and we'll hear that interview in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget that 3 years ago today, champion Australian 2-year-old Vancouver continued his unbeaten run when powering home to land the world's richest 2-year-old race, the Grade 1 Golden Slipper, the highest-rated juvenile of his generation. Vancouver dominated on the racetrack, breaking the 2-year-old track record at Randwick in the Grade 2 Todman Stakes. Standing at Coolmore America, the imposing son of Medaglia d'Oro is currently welcoming his first Northern Hemisphere foals, who are impressing breeders with their tremendous looks and outstanding quality. Along with a stellar pedigree, which combines the very best of North American and Australian bloodlines, Vancouver really is the real deal. So call the team at Ashford to get in before it's too late. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, wrapping up hour number one. If you missed our interviews with Eddie Woods or Kip Elzer previewing the Phasic Tipton Gulfstream sale, head on over to our website, horseracingradio.net to check out a podcast at your leisure. And, of course, that podcast available, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. We're going to come back. Hour number two kicks off with that interview with Gary Stevens. Stay with us. It's hour two right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collected alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected gonna win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Creases of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, edging ever closer to that first Saturday in May. Now just 42 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 40 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. Of course, we will be there as your exclusive radio home of the Kentucky Derby and the entire Triple Crown, the Derby in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. Make sure you join us all week long for coverage live from Churchill Downs. You can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete broadcast schedule. Jude, by the way, next week we're going to be sitting in much warmer climates at Gulfstream Park. Yeah, you're applauding. I know you are.
A little golf clap there.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. It'll be in the low 80s is what the forecast is for next Saturday. We'll be there to bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Florida Derby, which is obviously the signature event of the championship meet. Mike Nyman will join us later in the program to talk about the Florida Derby and of course, this afternoon's Hutchison Stakes. But really looking forward to getting back down there and getting a chance to meet our Road to the Florida Derby contest winner who won a trip for two.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We'll find out how he did it. It was a masterful handicapping job. Just awesome, really. He was in contention the whole contest.
Yeah, just really dominated. It was a tremendous performance. We'll get a chance to talk with him on this program next Saturday morning. And then we turn our attention to Keeneland, an opening weekend, and we'll be there for the Bluegrass Stakes in the beginning of April. April 7th is the date of the Bluegrass. And, Mark, that's all going to be presented by Red Brand Fence.
Red Brand Fence.
Yeah, thank
you very much. We're excited about that. And Gary should be riding in that.
GL. Yeah. Gary, and we touched on this at the beginning of the show. Gary now a spokesperson for Red Brand, along with our HRN colleague, the Big A.
The Big A.
Yeah, I told you, you're putting that no-climb fence to the test, brother.
Absolutely. According to Big A, there's no fence that is no-climb for him. So he is.
I want to see that.
Every fence is a no-climb fence.
I want to be there for that filming.
I think you should do that. I think you should have Gary give him a leg up.
There you go. We could have Gary give him a leg up, and I'll bet you if we put some chicken parm on the other side of the fence, we could get Big A over it.
Gary's already got a new knee and a new hip. Does he need a new shoulder too?
Yeah, I don't know. That could be very, very interesting. Interesting ad campaign for our friends at Red Brand. So that's what's coming up the next couple of weekends here on the network. And in this hour, we told you it's going to kick off with Jude's interview with Gary Stevens. He took the time yesterday to visit with Jude and with Mark. And here's what Gary had to say about this year's Louisiana Derby, teaming up with Dwayne Lucas and a couple of other topics as well.
I'm joined by Gary Stevens. Magnificent rider, not only Hall of Fame jockey, but one so talented, he managed to win many races on horses that I trained. Good morning, GL.
Good morning, dude. Good morning. You cut me on nothing but good ones, dude.
Yeah, I always did. I didn't want to put you on any bums. The people kind of got wise to that after a while, but
Good times.
Yeah, we had some fun together. It's been said that we know our souls are immortal because we always feel the same inside. Internally, do you still feel the same as you did in 1995?
Absolutely. I'm probably enjoying myself more than I was back in those days because I was just so overwhelmingly busy on planes and riding as many as I could, and it just seemed like I was constantly on planes and never really got to, enjoy those special moments as much as I should have been able to at the time, but I'm enjoying them now.
Well, you and I know that Wayne Lucas still loves to win when the whole world is watching, as he likes to say. So for me, the Louisiana Derby is just another Gary and Wayne attacking the Kentucky Derby. But we're all grandfathers now. Does it feel any different to you this time?
It's funner. probably the most gratifying win in my career, I would say, as far as personally, was with all my Triple Crown wins and races internationally and the Breeders' Cups and stuff, when Wayne led me into the winner's circle on Oxbow and the Preakness, that was as good as it gets. And he looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and he said, "It never gets old, does it?" And I said, "No, it gets sweeter."
Yeah,
and that was a moment I'll never ever forget.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it was one of those transcendent moments. We lost Thunder Gulch this week, and I was walking back to my barn at Santa Anita and saw this chestnut machine come off a van and stand in the sunshine, and what presence he had. Later in the morning, I asked Kim Davis who he was, and she told me Thunder Gulch, and she said, "He's supposed to be really good." talk about Thunder Gulch.
Oh, he was such a warrior, man, and you called it the presence he had. He just carried himself in a different way. From the first time I sat on his back in 1994, I flew back and picked him up in the Remsen, and they just, this is the second time running for Lucas, and Todd Pletcher saddled him that day, and he said, "Man, it'd be really important if we win this race, get a piece of it. We got a new client," and he didn't run so good the first time we ran him, and the horse, he walked over and he went to leg me up, and I'm thinking, I wonder how much they paid for this thing because he's not very big, not very tall, and Todd legged me up, and I had to drop my stirrups, three holes on each side. That's how wide he was, and when we walked down that track, he owned that track, and he was a pain in the butt going through the starting gate. He was trying to savage the pony and just doing everything wrong he could to annoy us. It was like a little kid in the first grade that didn't want to be there, but since he was there, he was going to have a good time. And the gate opened. I finally got him in the gate, and the race started. He was leaning on the horses outside of me. I mean, getting out, just laying on him. I got him around the first turn, finally, and we turned down the backside. And he picked a horse in front of him on the inside to start leaning on. And he continued to lean on him all the way around the far turn and into the stretch. And I literally had both hands on the outside rein trying to keep him from knocking the other horse over the fence. And I couldn't let him run. And we're heading head for the lead. Finally, two jumps before the wire, I dropped his head and he got down and I got up and won by a head. And I thought, I came back and I said, "This horse just did everything wrong he could in the race, still won." And, that was just him. And he did it all the way through the spring in the Holy Bowl and the Fountain of Youth, excuse me. And then again in the Fountain of Youth. And I was overseas riding in Hong Kong, but I was keeping track. And he'd get up and he was winning by noses and heads the same as he did when I rode him. And, truly a racehorse, but it didn't look like he'd grown up yet. And then came back and ran the bad race in the Fountain or in the Bluegrass, ran fourth. Pat Day rode him because Mike was tied up with Talking Man, and I'd been tied up with Larry the Legend. And then come in, went on Larry the Legend, and he broke down. He won, but flew back to Hong Kong, and Wayne started calling immediately, wanting me to come and ride him in the Kentucky Derby. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really want to go because I'd been doing so much flying, and I thought, man, he's I'm going to have to get really lucky to win it. And finally, on the third day, Mike Smith called me, and he said, "Gary, this horse has got a shot to win the Derby if he runs like he did in the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby." And and, you know, do yourself a favor and get on a plane and come over here. He says, I don't know why he ran like he did in the bluegrass because I wasn't on him. So that's why I came. And for whatever reason, on the first Saturday in May, he turned into a man. I mean, he won with authority. He didn't wait on horses. He didn't lean on horses. He was all business that day, and he continued to just thrive the rest of that three-year-old year.
Well, that photo of you standing up and yelling at the wire, that's an iconic photo. I mean, does it embody the feeling of elation winning the Kentucky Derby that so many people try to describe, but they can't do it?
Yeah, I think that photo says it all. It puts your emotions into still time. And, what you see is what I was experiencing. And it's a feeling that, you know, I've only had three times. That special a feeling.
Yeah, that photo always gives me goosebumps. I mean, every time I see it, I just go, wow, that's amazing. So I read Tom Padula's recent article about you, and you said Bravazo reminds you of Thunder Gulch. Does that give you a lot of confidence going into the Louisiana Derby?
Yeah, because I know he's a fighter. He's a grinder, and what he did with me the first time I rode him, the length of the stretch, and it was a short stretch that day because it was only a flat mile, and he got away poorly, and I got shuffled back pretty good. He didn't really get away back poorly. He got crunched the first jump, and then I got shuffled back, and I finally was able to angle him out down the backside, and he just started picking off horses. But because of that short stretch, I put him in a long drive, and he'd been off for a while, and I thought coming into the stretch that he had to get tired, you know, off that layoff and as long as drive as I'd put him into. But I'm thinking, well, I'm riding for Wayne Lucas. He hasn't fit. He's yeah. been getting after it in this cold weather and rain, been galloping around the shed row and whatnot, and you know, the last 50 yards, I didn't know if I was going to get up or not get up. Very similar to when I'd ridden Thunder Gulch the first time. And man, he dropped his head right on the wire and won by a head. And then when I watched the Risen Star, it was the same thing. You didn't know if he was going to win or run second until the final jump. And he found a will to, you know, stick his head down and win. And, you know, that was the first thing when I came back and told Wayne that day when I won on him. I said, we might have another Thunder Gulch here. And he smiled, and he said he reminds me of him too. He's just he's a bulldog. He's a good-looking horse and carries himself well, and he has a good mind. And he's still maturing is a good thing. That's the upside. It's he's improving with every race, and let's just hope he keeps to improve and take those steps forward. Because he's going to have to.
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of people rooting for you and Wayne on Saturday, because one more Kentucky Derby from you guys would make us all feel a little younger. we got our friend Mark Otto with us.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Great.
Mark tells me you've got some exciting things coming up. Mark, why don't you ask Gary what's happening?
Yeah, we're really excited about the night with Silver Charm and Touch Gold. We're going to have Gary and Chris McCarron and probably a little cameo by Bob Baffert to do a fundraiser for Old Friends Farm, sponsored by Red Brand, HRRN, and several other people, Country Boy Brewery. That'll be happening sometime mid-April. Gary, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, I've first of all, that event, it's going to be a lot of fun. I love going to Old Friends and seeing what they do with aftercare with all these old famous racehorses and the life that they're living there, the enjoyable life that they're living there and the care that they're getting, but also reach out to the people that help support Old Friends. And it's a deep list in the industry, and I think it's come a long ways, the aftercare of these thoroughbreds when the career's over with on every level. But Red Brand is a huge supporter of not only Breeders' Cup with their sponsorship there, but also in the aftercare of these thoroughbreds, and they've been a big part of Old Friends. And I've teamed up with Red Brand very recently, and going to be part of the team and getting the word out there on the fencing and how much we do love this sport on and off the racetrack itself. And Red Brand has many different products, but they're known for their fencing. And many, many of the thoroughbred farms in the Lexington area and nationwide use their fencing. And the safest fences out there, protecting the, some of the old horses that I've rode so much. I know Beholder's paddock is the Red Brand fencing.
And so is Thunder Gulch.
And isn't it the Safe Fence? Is that what it's called?
Where Keep
it's,
Safe Fence. Yeah, the V-mesh. Safe. A lot of people know it as the Claiborne fence. It actually absorbs the energy. If they run into it, it really reduces the neck, knee injury, fatalities. Keeps them on time, keeps them on the track. And
right.
Yeah, we're really proud to be partnering with Gary.
Keeps other vermin out of the field too, doesn't it?
just as important for what it keeps out as what it keeps in.
And protect it from what's outside that doesn't need to be in there with them. So anyway, we've just joined forces, and you're going to be seeing a lot of Red Brand stuff on Gary Stevens in the future, in the mornings and in the afternoons. So looking forward to a long time partnership.
We're really honored to be part of that. This Silver Charm and Touch Gold event is going to be really neat. The cool thing about it, and one of the things that Michael Blown and I were talking about, Silver Charm is kind of like almost like a backstory. Almost every person's life that he touched, every person's path he crossed, he changed their life, from the Lewises to Bob Baffert to Gary. It's really kind of amazing how many, even old friends. He was the turning point at Old Friends that really got the attention of the industry.
Yeah, well, he's such a beautiful horse, and even to this day, he's really, really cool. I know, Gary, you know Christian Mendoza. She came out here for a sale at Keeneland. I took her over there. She used to gallop Silver Charm, and, I mean, he came right up to her, and it's so cool to see these old horses. And Touch Gold, I took a film of him galloping up to me at his paddock and sent it to Dave Hoffman. It's just an amazing horse as well. They do such a good job out there.
I'll tell you a quick story. The last time I was out to visit, the first time I'd gone out there, there was a lot of media out there, and Silver Charm had just come back from Japan and just gotten out of quarantine, and it was a cool moment. But there were cameras everywhere and a lot of people, and I got to spend some time, but not the kind of time I wanted to spend. So spent some more trips. But my last trip, I went out there and spent a bunch of time with Silver, and he came walking up, and he's pretty laid back, eating carrots and stuff. And beknownst to me, that in the paddock directly across from him was Touch Gold. It's like, that's the horse that cost us the Triple Crown. You got to stick him in the paddock directly across from him. So I'm laughing, and I go walking over, and I'd ridden Touch Gold twice. You know, I win the what's the prep race? It's after the Bluegrass at Keeneland.
The Lexington.
Anyway, the Lexington won on him by like 13 lengths, and I told David, I said, "Look, I'm already tied up on Silver Charm and the Derby, but do yourself a favor. This horse ran huge today, and it's probably too quick back for him in the Kentucky Derby, but he's a Preakness horse. And if I get beat on Thunder Gold or on Silver Charm, I'd love to ride him in the Preakness." Well, he stumbles in the Preakness, maybe should have won the Preakness and still run fourth, tore half his foot off leaving the gate. And who's the horse that come and nails us in the Belmont? It's Touch Gold. But anyway, Thunder Gold, Silver Charm, he just kind of trots around out there. There's not a lot of galloping going on from Silver Charm at this point. But I see Touch Gold standing quite a ways away, and he's eating, picking some grass, and I whistle, and he started trotting, then he came into a full gallop, and I had some crackers, carrots and some candies and stuff, and he stops. And the son of a gun reached over the fence and bit me. I said, really? I said, after all these years, that's what you're going to do. You're going to bite me and rub it into me even more. But it was a pretty cool moment. The guys, they were laughing, and it was a really good day. And it's a lot of fun to go out there and see these horses.
You know, another fun one, Gary, is the horse that stands between those two, Popcorn from...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was another one that has some history with you.
Yeah, he was one of the one of the 12 Seabiscuits in Seabiscuit, and he was actually one of the laid-back Seabiscuits. He would all of the scenes, like the Winter Circle scenes where they had the old-time cameras with the loud flash bulbs. We were shooting the scene. It was supposed to be after the match race, and there were a ton of people in Winter Circle, and one of those cameras, the light bulb actually exploded, and everybody jumped. Popcorn, he just stood there and looked around like, so what? But he could run, too. It was the amazing part is he was the horse that I would ride in mid-pack, you know, as Seabiscuit. They were all marked identical, but we had one with speed, one that could handle a lot of excitement around him and not bother him. So,
well, and his sire was Afternoon Delights.
What's that?
His sire was Afternoon Delights.
Yeah, his name is Popcorn
Delights. Popcorn Delights.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Well, we know you got a busy day, but Mark and I are very excited that it came out today that you're going to ride in Kentucky and then on to Saratoga, two places that we frequent in the spring and fall. So it's going to be great to have you around, and we'll get together when you get here.
It sounds good, Jude. I know that Angie and Maddie, they're looking forward to getting back to Kentucky, and we love Saratoga, so. Fingers crossed everything holds together the way it is.
Well, have horse wheel travel, Gary Stevens, everywhere you want to be.
Thanks for joining us, Gary. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, our thanks to the Hall of Famer for taking the time yesterday to visit with Jude and with Mark. And, guys, boy, what an enjoyable visit. I could listen to Gary Stevens tell stories all day long when he starts talking about the horses he's been on and so many of the great horses in our sport. Just incredible.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun catching up with him, and you know, he was very relaxed. It was quite a enjoyable interview to do, and interesting stuff.
How about telling Wayne that he thinks they could have another Thunder Gulch here with Bravazo when he was on him a couple of starts ago?
Yeah, that kind of picked up my head.
Yeah. And Wayne said he reminds me of him too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah. Well, people in the horse business always have a tendency to do that. You know, sometimes people buy a horse because it reminds them of a previous horse that they had. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, sometimes it's the way a horse looks, their conformation or their attitude or something that reminds you of a horse you were successful with. And you kind of gravitate to that because you've had success in the past. So it's not unusual. And those two guys, they've been right more than they've been wrong, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they both have said that this horse runs with Thunder Gulch, and Gary's actually said he has a lot of the same, you know, strategy and characteristics on the track.
Bravazo gets a rematch with Snapper Sinclair in this afternoon's Louisiana Derby. Post time for the race is 6:21 Eastern, 5:21 Central Time in New Orleans, and we'll have that coverage for you this afternoon on the network beginning at 5:30 Eastern Time. You want to make sure you tune in. You can listen to us worldwide wherever you may be. On your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, your streaming device, you can do that on our website, horseracingradio.net. So make sure you're tuned in to that coverage of the Louisiana Derby and the Hutchison Stakes from Gulfstream Park. It's all part of our coverage from Gulfstream, Saturdays at Gulfstream, which continues all the way through the Florida Derby next Saturday afternoon. And by the way, real quick before we get to our Blood Horse News Update segment, Snapper Sinclair, who finished second to Bravazo last time in the Risen Star, our good friend Jeff Bloom is the owner of Snapper Sinclair, Bloom Racing Stable. We want to wish him all the best trying to get to the Kentucky Derby with a horse under the Bloom Racing banner for the very first time. And if Snapper can pull off a huge effort today, he's going to get there. And Jude, really, all he has to do is run third in that race today to guarantee himself enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to as well. I know, you know, it's a really tough road to Kentucky, but Jeff's horse has been doing well. He was very unlucky to lose last time, led every step at the last one, and that's heartbreaking. I've had that happen to me before.
He currently has 22 points and ranked number 13 on the list right now. So if the Derby was run today, Snapper Sinclair would be in because he's within the top 20. But that's all going to change now that we start getting to the 100-point races. You're going to have horses that earn enough points finishing first and second that probably aren't on the radar, excuse me, right now. Snapper trying to get there. So, Jeff, good luck today, my friend, and hope you get it done down there in New Orleans. All right, it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines, all from bloodhorse.com. One of my favorite stories in racing right now, Winx. Winx extends her win streak to 24 with a George Ryder score. The Street Cry mare has now won 17 Group 1 races. Think about that. Winx had to work hard for it, but the Mighty Mare snagged her 24th straight victory with a determined stretch run in the Agency George Ryder Stakes, a Group 1 at Rosehill Gardens on March 24th. With regular rider Hugh Bowman in the irons, Winx took her time getting going. Well, she usually does that. But she started her move, entering the turn in the 1,500-meter test and came even with Happy Clapper about 300 meters out, but did not put the victory away until well down the stretch. And, of course, at the end, it was Winx getting the victory by three-quarters of a length over the soft turf. Godolphin's three-year-old star Kementari ran determinedly to finish third in a major step forward for him. Happy Clapper and Kementari are headed for the Star Doncaster Mile, which is a group run on April 7th. Winx targeting the Longines Queen Elizabeth, a group one a week later before any potential overseas travel. Pretty cool story there. Congratulations to Winx, and that is your Blood Horse News update. Don't miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and through the Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine can bring you. Go to bloodhorsemagazine.com/tablet if you want to get more information from Blood Horse. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And we're back to visit with Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Come on out to Santa Anita for great racing and good times. The Grade 2 Santa Monica for fillies and mares at 7 furlongs and the Grade 2 San Luis Race Stakes at a mile and one half on turf highlight an outstanding card at the Great Race Place. As always, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four, and we've got a revamped wagering menu that now includes $2 win place and show parlay wagers and 50-cent trifectas. Again, first post time is at 12 noon. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
There's an eighth of a mile to the finish, and American Lincoln is all by himself. The competition more than a dozen lengths behind.
Wow, what a way to break through with your first win. American Lincoln, the three-year-old son of Darley Stallion Street Sense, cruised to an 18-length maiden win at Aqueduct on March 16th, earning an 81 buyer, leaving no doubt he is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby, now has two greatest stakes-winning three-year-olds in 2018, McKenzie and Avery Island. No stallion has more. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they leave the backstretch in the 47th Hutchison Stakes and More Than Ready and Summer Note. These two get away to the quarter pole, More Than Ready. a measured neck in front. Summer Note, the undefeated colt, tries to run with him, but More Than Ready is sharp off the top of the turn. He leads it by a tight length. 2.5 lengths now for the back two. Advanced Edition, BL's Appeal, draws within three of the front, but they'll have to fly to catch More Than Ready. More Than Ready just in front. Summer Note will not go away to the outside, and these two right down to the wire. More Than Ready, a neck in front. Summer Note gives this favorite every bit of what he wants. More Than Ready, Summer Note to the outside. More Than Ready, Summer Note, a final surge. More Than Ready and Summer Note.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Mike Penna. Jude Feld, pontiff of the pick for Pope Jude, is to my left, and just across from me in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. That was Vic Stauffer with the call of the Hutchinson Stakes back in 2000, and what a performance it was. You had More Than Ready, Summer Note, remember those two names. They battled down to the line and ended up in a dead heat that afternoon. And the Hutchinson has provided us with so many moments over the years that have been memorable. That's certainly one of them. If you remember More Than Ready, trained by Todd Pletcher, ridden by Hall of Famer John Velasquez. That was the first of seven victories for Todd Pletcher in the Hutchinson. It was the first of six for John Velasquez. Who knew at that point that the two of them would have so much success moving forward, but they have been a potent team. Johnny not riding in the Hutchinson for Todd today. Todd going to send out the morning line favorite Impact Player, looking to add to his record seven wins. Luis Saez is going to be aboard. It is all part of a tremendous afternoon of thoroughbred racing during the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. And to help us, well, to help us find out what else is going on at Gulfstream today is our good friend Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing. Mike, once again, welcome, my friend.
He has his own intro.
How about that?
Of course I had to do that because today we're letting the dogs out. We have wiener dog racing here today.
That's amazing.
We got the wiener dog derby going on here.
Where can I bet on that, Mike?
I'm taking them in the corner downstairs.
Do we have a morning line favorite in the wiener dog race?
It's really off track betting. Yeah, we have like 64 dogs running. We have nine races starting at 11 o'clock, going to 1:30. So they'll be run before our card starts and in between the first couple of races.
Hopefully, you get them in before dark. The post times are just suggestions.
Yeah, we'll be done. Not too hard. But it's for part of our Florida track day today.
Very cool. So how's that going to work? So you'll send a certain number of dogs out, and they'll go how far? Is it an eighth of a mile, a 16th of a mile? What are we talking about here?
It's a short way down the stretch. I don't think it's even – probably it's 16th or less.
Their legs are 2 inches long.
But it's going to be a great day here today. Actually, it's already here, very, very busy. It's part of today is our Florida Track Day, which is our nonprofit Thoroughbred Retirement Aftercare. And just before I came up, they brought in a horse, which you guys will be familiar with, named Valid, who is a graded stakes winner that Nick Juarez used to run. He ended up becoming abandoned, sadly, and we rescued him, and actually Nick takes care of him now, made a lot of money riding the horse, and now he's giving back himself. So he was just down in the winner's circle, and he looked absolutely amazing. He hasn't been on a racetrack, you know, since he stopped racing, I guess, 3 years ago. And he loved it, walking around the winner's circle and seeing the horses come by. He looked like he was getting in the muscle there, ready, like he was ready to go. But it's a great day. So we're raising money for track here today for, like I said, the Thoroughbred Retirement Aftercare, which is really exciting. And the Wiener Dog Derby is part of that. They're out here also helping us raise money. So they're all dachshunds, as I'm sure many of the people that do breed dogs and are dog lovers will know. So it's going to be really cool. So it's something to watch, and you'll see it on our feed, simulcasting feed during the day if you're not here. So another great day here at Gulfstream.
Wow, that's really cool. Such a nice thing that Nick did for Valid. He was one of my favorites when he ran. He's such a game, tough horse, and Nick's really done a fabulous job rehabbing him and getting back, and I'm so excited to hear that he was enjoying his trip to Gulfstream this morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, I mean, it's just such a great thing, you know, to take care of these horses. And people are very aware that a lot of horses, after they stop racing, aren't getting the type of care that they should be getting. And, you know, it's one of the projects that, of course, Mr. Stronach started. And just so glad that, you know, we're part of it. It's just exciting to see that and see these horses being taken care of. And we have a nice facility up in Palm Beach and just do a great job of our whole track series. Matter of fact, PBS has done came here and filmed here this last year and went up to the training center, the retirement center, where the horses are. And it's going to be airing on PBS and other stations during the year. So you'll get a whole different look of things that we do. It's, you know, besides the racing and everybody's always looking at that. But this is a big part of what we do. We love taking care of these horses and giving them a good home for retirement. So it's all good.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up today, Mike. And it's appropriate that we would be talking about this on this particular Saturday morning with our good friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence sitting in studio with us as a guest co-host, because Mark is also on the board of directors with Old Friends here in Kentucky.
Right.
So, Mark, I know this has to be music to your ears.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, Gulfstream has been terrific supporters of aftercare. They're always amazing to us at Red Brand and at Old Friends. Anytime that we're in Gulfstream, Mike has gone out of his way to help us any way he can. I know they support Florida Track. Florida Track does a terrific job. You know, we support them as well. We've worked back and forth, you know, placing horses. So, yeah, great organization, and Gulfstream has really done a tremendous job, been a really big supporter of aftercare.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll pass the word on. And, you know, you guys obviously do a great job with Old Friends. There's so many great rescue organizations around the country, and it's good that everybody works together for the, you know, for the benefit of the horse. So
it really is. And along that line, you know, the TAA is really, you know, I got to give them a little plug, because Stacy Clark has just done an amazing job of really organizing and making sure that everybody works together. So, you know, support the TAA, support the aftercare organizations that are accredited by them,
Mike,
which
Nyman,
Florida Track is.
Yeah, Mike Nyman with us here at Gulfstream Park, Director of Marketing. As you heard, they are doing an awful lot of things this afternoon to support that thoroughbred aftercare, and including the wiener dog races. And a great introduction there, Mike, on your part. Well done.
I had to do it.
Outside of all of those festivities that are taking place, there's some pretty good thoroughbred racing on the docket, too, including the Grade 3 Hutchison Stakes, which is race 12 on the 13-race program. We'll have that exclusive radio coverage this afternoon beginning at 5:30, post time 5:44 Eastern. Tell me a little bit about what folks can expect on the racing side.
Okay, so today we kick it off at noon. This will be a 13-race card. You'll have 6 turf races on the card, including 2 stakes, 1 graded. So we have the any limit that runs as race 6 today. That's a 6-furlong race for the fillies. There's a very strong favorite in there from Jimmy Jerkins, 11s, 3-5 with Luis Saez up. So he really does look like a standout in that race. There are some other nice horses in the race, obviously. It's a 6-horse field, so it's a pretty compact there, but you got some horses. You know, all these horses have already done well. You know, you've got 8-31, who even at 8-1 he's won his maiden special, and then he won an allowance race. You've got Roses in the South, who'll probably be the second choice. Larry Bates, a local trainer here, is the trainer for that horse. So, and he's won quite a few races already. I think he's won like 5 races out of 10 in his career. So he's had quite a few races. He's been running on the turf, so he'll be a turf to dirt change. He did win a race on a sloppy track prior to that. We'll see how he can go. But again, you know, the 11s, the Jimmy Jerkins trained horse, who's he won his first race on a sloppy track, and then they put him into a restricted stake and with Jose Ortiz, and he finished 6th, and he was the favorite in that race, but it looks like he didn't have a great trip. He got hung out wide. And then you got his last race here at Gulfstream, which is an A other than optional, where he breezed and won by 7 3/4, going 6.5 furlongs, so also with Jose Ortiz. But today he'll have Luis Saez aboard. So that's kind of how that race shapes up. And then, of course, race 12 will be the Hutchinson, which is the Grade 3 race. And, of course, Todd Pletcher, always tough. He's got the one horse impact player with Luis Saez, who will be the favorite. But you got a lot of good horses in here. I mean, all these horses, some of them have, you know, you have a horse that's just broke his maiden in Tampa, Madison's Luna, you know, ran a nice race up there. You got probably the second choice, Tricks to Do. That horse is, he ran fourth in his last race in a grade three swale at 7 furlongs. They're cutting him back to the distance where he's won twice, 6 furlongs at a maiden special and at Laurel, and he won a stake at Tampa. And one of my favorite horses, Soutache, is with Ralph Nix and Tyler Gaffleon, who everybody knows has been having a great meet here. He's winning at almost a 17% clip. That horse has won 3 out of his 4 races, and he looks pretty salty in there as well. And his last race, he won at 1/16. He was a 10-cent favorite, so I guess he was, what, 1-9 there. And that race he won here, and now he's cutting back in distance back to 6 furlongs. So that might help him, probably be an advantage. And that's the way the race shapes up. So it looks like it's a good race, and if you don't want to go with a favorite, you have some other really good choices in there. So that's the way the card looks today. Of course, we got the big carryover in the pick six, not to mention.
Yeah, huge carryover in the pick six. And then leading toward next week's Florida Derby. And, Mike, you announced it on the program last week that if nobody takes down the Rainbow Six between now and then, we'll have a massive carryover and a mandatory payout on Florida Derby Day.
That's correct. And so we have 4 live racing days left. Which is obviously today and tomorrow. Next Wednesday is a dark day here for us because we have the Fasig Tipton sale going on. So I'm sure a lot of people, listeners, will be joining us. Anybody that's here local and just wants to come out and hang out and, you know, see what a horse sale is all about, it's really a cool thing. So that'll be going on. There's a Breeze show here on Monday, and then Wednesday the actual sale will be around our walking ring, which will start at 3 o'clock. And then on Wednesday is our, you know, post-position draw. And then, of course, we, you know, roll into Saturday, which we'll have our final breakfast that day. We'll have simulcasting for the Dubai World Cup starting at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, we'll have our big card. It'll be 14 races, 9 stakes, $2.5 million in purses. I think 7 or 8 of them are graded, including the Florida ExpressBet.com Florida Derby, $1 million. And it's going to be a great day. If you're still planning to be out here, remember it's free parking and admission. There's still some limited seating in 10 Palms. Also, our best value is in Sport of Kings. There's a barbecue buffet, all you can eat for $50. You know, people ask me about that. You're in a big, basically a simulcasting room with, you know, huge screens and tellers and self-service machines. And I know a lot of people like to be outside, but it's a good place to at least you can park yourself, have, you know, food all day. And then when you want to, you know, go outside around the walking ring or down on the apron and the finish line to watch the races, that's all available for you.
He's Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, Gulfstream Park. All kinds of things happening with the championship meet as we roll toward the final day next weekend, and of course that signature event, the Florida Derby, which will be broadcast exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll be there live to bring you that coverage on site. Going to be a great time, and Mike, look forward to seeing you here in a couple of days.
Yeah, can't wait for you guys to be down here, and we'll check you out next week. Also, I should not fail to mention the Divas and Dudes Hat Contest. That'll be on the walking ring, and we'll be assembling after the 7th race. We get a lot of people for that, and we have some great sponsors for that as well, and including Maker's Mark, who will be providing a gift to everybody that enters the hat contest. So we'll be doing that as well. So looking forward to seeing everybody. Just come on out and enjoy a great day here of racing.
Yeah, what a great week. Divas, Dudes, and Wiener Dogs. Doesn't get any better than that at Gulfstream Park in South Florida. Mike, appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, good stuff.
That's wild. Wiener Dogs.
Talk about a little
Divas
bit of everything.
And Dudes.
I didn't know there was that many Wiener Dogs in South Florida.
Oh, it's big. It's like the Wiener Dog breeding capital of the world.
Yeah, they got nothing on the Greyhounds.
Yeah, your nephew's Greyhound ran well last night.
That dog is amazing. He's amazing. You know, he just keeps running good races every time. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Sean made a name for himself with his dad, your brother Bob, syndicating racehorses and putting together partnerships with Bongo Racing and then owning horses. Now they're into the Greyhound scene, and they syndicated a Greyhound, sold shares, and the thing just he's as consistent as any racehorse they've ever had.
Oh, more consistent.
Yeah.
he's a freak, really. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, unreal. All right, we're going to get to another commercial break. We'll come back. One final segment before we wrap things up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HR. KRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Gulfstream. Every Saturday during Gulfstream Park's championship meet, we'll bring you live racing coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, complete with expert analysis from our award-winning staff. This week's featured race is the Hutchison Stakes. Saturdays at Gulfstream, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
At the top of the stretch, Zarb's Magic has the lead. City by Night, Grindstone on the outside, Commander's Palace is next. They head now to the eighth pole, and Grindstone takes the lead, but Zarb's Magic hangs in on the inside, but it will be Grindstone with the lead, and Zarb's Magic back in second. Grindstone wins the Louisiana Derby by 4 with Jerry Bailey. Zarb's Magic next, Commander's Palace third. Running time 1:42:03.
How about that trip down memory lane? Grindstone winning in the Bayou in 1996 for Dwayne Lucas. Jerry Bailey in the irons would come back beneath the Twins' fires and get up in the final strides to win the Kentucky Derby, that memorable finish. And Grindstone, the last horse to win both the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby. So it's been a while. Dwayne Lucas going to try and do it again this year as he sends out Bravazo later this afternoon in that Louisiana Derby. And Jude, that was a great moment back in 96. And, you know, Wayne really had things rolling at that point. But that stretch run by Grindstone was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was a good race. I wonder why Gary wasn't on Grindstone.
I don't know. You should have asked him. Hey, what happened with Grindstone, Gary? Where'd you slip up there? I wonder who he did ride that year.
How'd your agent mess that up?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. We'll have to
Grindstone
try to
wasn't
that.
He wasn't highly coveted, I don't think.
No. You know, the Louisiana Derby in general has not been the place to be if you want to win the Kentucky Derby. Like I say, you got Grindstone, who was the last horse to win both. The last horse to come out of the Louisiana Derby and win the Kentucky Derby was Funnyside in 2003. And before those two, you had to go all the way back to Black Gold in 1924 to find a horse to come from the Louisiana Derby to win it. And, of course, he won both.
And no, I wasn't there for Black Gold's victory.
You weren't there. Mark wasn't either, were you?
No.
Yeah, so for some reason, the Louisiana Derby, even though it's attracted some really nice horses, just really hasn't panned out when they come to Louisville several weeks later. You know, the Sunland Derby, on the flip side of that, we're going to see the Sunland Derby tomorrow. Now, that's a much more recent race than the Louisiana Derby, but you do have one horse to come out of there and win the Kentucky Derby. Who was? Gentlemen? Come on!
Oh, yeah.
Chip Woolley.
Yeah, good old what's-his-name.
Mind that bird.
Mind that bird.
How quickly we forget.
But I always, in my mind...
You should ask Mike Nyman that question.
Yeah, that's right. That would have been a good one for Nyman. He loves that movie. In my mind, when I think of Mind That Bird, I think of the Grey Stakes in Canada. And I don't know why, but he won the Grey Stakes. And that's the race I always associate with the Kentucky.
He was
Derby.
A good horse.
And today
he was a very good horse.
He was a good horse.
Yeah, he was. And that today was, you can actually ride him. He does trail rides in Colorado.
Mind That Bird?
That's where Mind That Bird is. Michael Bone and I looked him up, trying to track him down, see where he was at, kind of a... Where are they now? Feature.
You're kidding me.
We got to tell Ken Ramsey, because he will go and ride Mind That Bird and say he rode a Kentucky Derby.
Do you know how many people mentioned that picture of Ken Ramsey that was taken after the Gold Cup, where he was aboard his horse in the ocean?
All right, unbelievable. But Ken will go. He will make a trip. I guarantee you, he will make a trip to go ride Mind That Bird.
I had no idea.
We knew that's where he was, unless they retired him. But he was at a place, and he was doing actually kind of like the little trails in the Grand Canyon. So.
Wow. So I've been aboard a horse twice in my life. I'm going to admit this publicly. Scared the hell out of me both times, because I figured, okay, if they want me off their back, I'm gone, right? They're a lot bigger than I am. I'm never going to be a jockey. And I would love to do that, though. I would love to head back out west or head out west. And
we'll have to track him down and see if he's still there. Yeah, it was Michael Vaughn that actually hunted him down. And he was actually doing trail rides on it.
Didn't he used to be at the Derby Museum for a while? Or did they just bring him in for... He was at the Kentucky Derby Museum for a while. They had him there, greeting the fans and stuff, which is kind of cool.
So cool.
I had a horse that I used to train that set a track record at Hollywood Park, actually. A horse named Plenty Conscious that Frank Oliveris used to ride for me a lot. And Christina Blacker's dad. And when he retired... he became a park ranger's horse in Yosemite, and he had a very nice life. The park ranger up there had lost his horse and needed a new one, and somebody at the track told me about it, and I said, hey, Plenty Conscious would love that. That'd be a great spot for him. So he went up there and had a tremendous life.
Who'd you pick to win the Louisiana Derby today and even the Sunland Derby tomorrow? Who'd you like in those races?
Well, the Louisiana Derby, I kind of don't have a lot of respect for the Risen Star, although after my interview with Gary, I felt better about Bravazo. But I actually like a long shot in the Louisiana Derby. And incidentally, he didn't get in to the Sunland Park Derby, and that's Hinford, number 6. This is a Todd Pletcher trainee who has had a checkered career. He ran on the turf first time out, ran 4th, came back for maiden 50 and won. Last time out, he ran at Tampa Bay Downs in an allowance, won by Magnum Moon, who everybody thinks is all world all of a sudden. I think this horse is improving. He's going places. I think he might have surprised Todd a little bit. He's by Street Cry out of a Candy Ride mare. He should be able to get distances as far as they go. And he's, I believe, 8-1 on the line with Joe Bravo. So that's who I like in there. We actually have Noble Indy in off of our fantasy team for the Churchill Downs Press Box Fantasy Group. And so good luck to him.
Yeah, and by the way, a shout-out to our friend Michael Hernan at Gainesway and Tapazar. Hollywood Handsome, a son of Tapazar, going in the Grade 2 New Orleans Handicap on that Louisiana Derby undercard, and a major player there. Of course, Monomoy Girl working a bullet this week, 59-1, pointing for the Ashland Stakes and then maybe on to the Kentucky Oaks from there.
Yeah, she's a heck of a filly, and looks like she's got a bright future. At Sunland on Sunday, I kind of like Dale's horse, Hollywood Star. We saw what happened with Enticed after he got beat first time out and then came back and ran a corker. This horse pretty similar. He ran fourth at Tampa off a long layoff against Flame Away and Catholic Boy and Vino Rosso. Might have needed the race that day. Robbie Alvarado gets back on him. He's had good success, a win in 2 seconds on him. I think they've got a big shot of winning the race at Sunland. I'm also interested in Peace. Peace has run against McKenzie, Boldoro, Restoring Hope, Instilled Regard. All the horses that have been bantered about on the Derby trail. He ran fourth last time in the San Felipe against McKenzie and Boldoro. And here's something you're really going to like. He has a 101 late pace rating.
Boom. Love those late pace ratings at brisnet.com. Going to get to a short break. We'll come back, wrap it up. It's the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride with top class racing now through April 1st. Visit GulfstreamPark.com today to reserve your seats for the $1 million Express Bet Florida Derby on Saturday, March 31st, when many of the nation's top three-year-olds look to take one final step toward the Run for the Roses. And every day during the championship meet, you can take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com or download the Gulfstream Park app on your mobile device.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
This three-time graded stakes-winning millionaire defeated 20 Grade 1 winners. In the Dixie Stakes, he defeated Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With the Birds and set a new course record at Saratoga. Runner-up in the Grade 1 Manhattan and Shadwell Turf Mile, Ironicus ran 7 triple-digit buyers, including this score in the Fort Marcy Stakes. Half to 4 graded stakes winners, Ironicus has the speed, class, and bloodlines to become the next great sire by Distorted Human. Ironicus at Clayton Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
It's Snapper Sinclair game. He's reaching for the line. It's Snapper Sinclair to do it.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American Pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. LaRonge Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazara is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pettit, Jude Feld, Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forum. Our thanks to all of our special guests, including Eddie Woods and Kip Elzer, talking about the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream sale, Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. Guys, about a minute left here to wrap it up. We're back this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, coverage of the Hutchinson and Louisiana Derby. People can stream that exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. And JT, you and I are off to Florida for the Florida Derby next
week. Sounds good. And don't forget, Mind That Bird is officially retired, so don't plan to ride him, but go feed him
carrots. We had a correction on that. We hunted him down, and he's actually back with his owner. So
good for him.
Resting for him. Easy.
Mark, been fun to have you on board, my friend.
Yeah,
and thank
really
you for all
it.
Your support with Red Brand. We want to encourage people, go to redbrand.com to learn more about all the great fencing.
Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff, JT.
Yeah, another show in the books.
Our thanks to all of our listeners. Our thanks to Lee Delapina, our producer, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. Chauncey, Sean C., with all of our social media. For Jude Feld and Mark Otto, I'm Mike Pennon. We'll talk to you next week on the Equine Forum. And, of course, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.